5 years ago, when I was having conversations with the search committee, I submitted a sermon for them to listen to called Why the Patriots Are the Best Team in Football. So I thought I'd better mention something about football in today's sermon so that we could come full circle. Denominations are like NFL football teams is a recent blog post that's been going around Facebook. The blogger Ben Howard begins, in honor of the beginning of the NFL season, and because I have a bizarre need to compare things that are in no way similar, I give you a list of Christian denominations and their corresponding NFL teams. He then proceeds to liken the Roman Catholics to the Chicago Bears, the Methodists to the Kansas City Chiefs, the Lutherans to the Indianapolis Colts, and on and on. You can just simply Google denominations are like NFL teams, and you can read the details there. The United Church of Christ, our illustrious denomination, is compared to the Miami Dolphins, quote, a franchise with a lot of historical significance, including the only unbeaten season in NFL history and the crazy success of Dan Marino. The franchise's status has been undermined in recent years through a combination of identity crisis and wondering whether or not anyone actually cares. Ouch. Mr. Howard finishes his list with the Patriots, Packers, and Steelers, who he notes are perennially successful and classy. He then concludes, yes, I am aware that all of the above are gross caricatures and are not reflective of the whole of the denomination. And I'm fine with that. The caricatures serve their purpose. You might think I'm writing all this to say that every church should aspire to be the Patriots, Packers, or Steelers, but it's not. Churches need to be who they are, and they need to own who they are, and try and be the absolute best that they can be in that context. As I leave today, my hope for Grace Church is that you will try to own who you are and be the best you can possibly be in your context. To do so, you need to keep a few things in mind. Most importantly, above anything else, seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness. In other words, work your hardest to do what God wants before you do anything else. Above all else, live in ways that will please the Lord. At all times, behave honorably and blamelessly. Seeking first God's kingdom is the most important thing Christians are supposed to do. It is a key sign we are growing in our faith, both as individuals and as congregations. It is the number one and perhaps only mark of a healthy church. The phrase, seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, was uttered by Jesus in the context of a larger passage about worrying, which I just read. Jesus said, do not worry about anything because God's got it. But instead, work on doing what God calls you to do, and everything else will fall in place. It will be tempting over the coming months to worry about what's going to happen to Grace Church. Will you find the right pastor? Will you simply find a pastor? Instead of fretting about this, seek God's kingdom and God's righteousness. Focus on doing justice, on loving mercy, on walking humbly with God. And I guarantee you, this will lead you to the plans and dreams and pastor that God has for you. The Apostle Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, at the very end of it, gave the church some very specific instructions about how they could seek God's kingdom and God's righteousness. He writes, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. It's hard to rejoice on a day like today and in a time of transition. Losing a pastor is a sad, confusing, and difficult time. But Christians are recalled to rejoice at all times, Philippians 4:4, because the Lord is near to all who call on him, Psalm 145:8, and God will never leave us or forsake us, Hebrews 13:5. So in the midst of these hard times, as you are grieving, as you are confused, as you look to the future and cannot see the way, choose to be joyful. Choose to be joyful. You're not going to want to, but make the decision to be joyful. Next, Paul says, strive for full restoration. This is sort of a funny little phrase. It's an odd translation. Oftentimes, this word in Greek is translated be perfect or be perfected. I think that's the better way of thinking about it. The idea is to get everything that is out of joint back into joint, to make sure that everything is in its proper place, to get all of your affairs in order. Work hard during this time of transition. It's easy to say, no, we're not going to do anything right now because we want to wait for our new pastor. Don't do that. Work hard to get everything in order right now. Oftentimes we pretend that things are hunky-dory all the time, but that's not true. There's something we can always improve on. Work on yourselves. Encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace. In our world today, I think it is of the utmost importance that churches be places where people can feel lifted up, where people can have their worlds brightened, where people can find unity and peace. So be that church. Don't gossip. Don't nitpick. Don't take sides. Don't harbor grievances. Instead, build each other up. Help each other. Comfort each other. Bear each other's loads. And if you do, the God of peace and love will be with you. How do I want to be remembered for my time here at Grace? What do I want on my Grace Church tombstone? I want my time here to be remembered as a time when you learn to seek God's kingdom and God's righteousness above all else. I want my pastorate to be remembered as one during which this church became a place where people could be restored and rejuvenated for their journey. And I want you to remember me as the one who encouraged you to encourage each other to find consensus and to be at peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all forever and ever. Amen. Let us bow our heads in silent prayer.